You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports Graham Young and Michael Gannon. Guys, how are you both?
Not bad, sir. Afternoon. How are you doing, chaps?
Yeah, very well. All good, Mick.
All good this end. I think the one thing that we should really start on, guys, Celtic, another trophy in the cabinet. Pretty impressive performance, Graham, I thought, all round. Oh, sorry, not that impressive, but they got the job done, Celtic.
Yeah, I think it was impressive that Ange Postecoglou, the way everyone has watched Celtic enough now since he arrived, summer of 2021, to know what they're about. But maybe two of my favourite kind of or most impressive moments watching this Celtic team were the 2-1 win at Ibrox last year in the last 25 minutes, where they defended their box and the way they were able at the weekend to just kind of weather the storm after Morelos' goal, and the five subs. Ange hasn't won, I know, a couple of times in the Champions League he made subs at half-time, but he likes the 60-minute subs. But now he's got a bench that Awata thought was good off the bench. And the way O put himself about, Aksabanic, bit of pace, probably should have scored. But I thought that was a really impressive trait of a kind of... it wasn't really an Ange way of playing, but that's those were the kind of standouts. It was a bit of kind of tough. A bit, and that's what separates good to... great sides. We know Celtic are a passing team, but they are also able to mix it up and find ways to win when they're maybe not their free-flowing best. And obviously Kyogo, there's this kind of narrative sometimes, like maybe it wasn't when he arrived, he couldn't do any wrong, but in this season maybe, I think even a couple of months ago some were saying he wasn't as good, but the goal rate suggested otherwise. And this trait or this knack of the way Celtic play, finding himself in the box, perfect runs, great timing. Arne Moy called my ghost. It's the perfect way of describing them. It's what Celtic do well, and it's another trophy, another win, signature win over their biggest rivals. And I don't think many Celtic fans could have predicted this. Summer of 2021 when Ange arrived, it feels as complete a Celtic team as it's been in a while. And I think it did a bit of everything. And I think that gritty nature underlines why Celtic are ahead of everyone else in Scotland.
And I realise I contradict myself in the first 5 seconds of the podcast, but Mick, what I meant was it was impressive the way they got the job done, Celtic.
I thought it was impressive all round, to be honest with you. I'm back. Obviously, you watch the game live. I was at the game on Sunday, and you get your impressions of the game while it's happening. But I'm back and watched it again on the Monday, and it just kind of reinforced what I was kind of thinking at the time. I think people dismissed the first 20 minutes as kind of pretty poor and pretty quiet, and there wasn't a shot and goal from either side, which is true, but I actually think that was the period when Celtic built the foundations of the win. I think Celtic, I looked at the possession stats after 20 minutes, and Celtic were sitting on about 73% possession, 74%. And I don't think, I can't go back to all the old, every old fun game in history, but I can't remember, I don't think it'll ever be a case of one team having so much possession in the first 20 minutes of a game like that. And it was used for a reason, that the Celtic were building slowly and they're looking for and probing for weaknesses. And they found them. I mean, you look at the first 20 minutes, I think it was Hatate tracking down the outside of James Tavernier. Didn't quite work a few times. Maybe there would be sniff here and there. The final ball wasn't quite there. Then you look at what happened at the goal. I think what the key for me was Rio Hatate. Time and time again, taking the ball in tight areas. And not producing Hollywood passes or switches of play, not taking the ball in, taking a touch, pulling it back, and then squaring it or pushing it or laying it off. But what he was doing was he was taking guys out of the game. He was taking 2 and 3 players out of the game. And if you look at the first goal, he takes it, he wins the ball and takes it in tight, makes a short little pass. It gets up to Moy, and he's got two men behind him at that point because it's Hatate taking out the game. And rather than Maeda hitting the byline instead of the touchline, he cuts inside, takes Tavernier with him. Mm-hmm. It's opened up left side, bang, back in the net. Kyogo does what he does, gets across the man, back in the net. And it was like that goal. It took 40 odd minutes. It was 40 minutes in the making. If you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Except we're cleverly keeping possession and working out a way to find the weaknesses in the Rangers' defence, and they found it and exposed it. Don't get me wrong, Rangers, I think, were a threat on the counter. But I think Celtic were pretty much dominant. I mean, the little spell after it went to 2-1, a goal from a set piece, there was a bit of a kind of a spell that got a bit nervy for Celtic. But then again, the last 15 minutes, there wasn't really an attempting goal from Rangers, really. And it could have been 3-4 by the end. I mean, Celtic missed a couple of sitters late on. I thought it was a really dominant display. It was patient. It was purposeful. I think it was a bit of a show of power, really, to where Celtic are just now, where Rangers need to be.
I think you're right in saying, Mick, that obviously Rangers were still dangerous on the counter. And I think I think one of the standout players of the weekend as well was Carlos Starfelt. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. He repelled everything that came at him. I know towards the end he almost set up a Rangers goal, but I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And I was really happy for him because he's a player that took a lot of stick when he first came in to Celtic, but one of the first names in the team sheet now.
He took some stick when he came in, but I don't know where this exact stick now comes from. I mean, I don't think he's been him and Carter Vickers haven't lost a game together for about 50 games. I think any doubts now have been removed. I mean, I think he does give people the odd little kind of little scare, an odd wee kind of flurry of nerves now and again. He takes a few chances. But I think the most part, I think people recognise that he's a really good player. He's formed a great partnership with Carter Vickers, and he had a stormer at Hampden, especially in that second half. But yeah, I don't think. I know we keep saying that he took a bit of stick. He got a bit of stick early on because he was really, I mean, first landed, he was chucked in at the deep end and looked a bit raw. And he had a few kind of moments that were a bit hear him, scare him. And he still has that in his game. But see, we didn't have that in his game. We have a £45 million centre half playing English Premiership.
That's true.
We have to step it off with this move sometimes, these guys.
No, that's true. Graham, what did you think of Starfelt and the overall defensive performance?
I know Mick just said there, and it's perfect. That was kind of my litmus test for Boyata. That always felt that, you know, how Boyata kind of played down at times, but I felt if he didn't have those mistakes, then he was another player like that, where great in both boxes, pretty good up until the kind of final season. I think Starfelt fits exact Mick, which is bang on. He has those moments when he plays that pass across the defence where he almost spins himself around, right? And it looks a bit cumbersome, ungamely, and but the rest of his game's so good. The anticipation to step up and Tavernier's pass in the lead up to the goal that made it 2-0, that just the kind of blueprint of the way he plays. Like when he's on the front foot, he can do both. I think part of his game in Celtic kind of hemmed in. He's really good at winning headers in the box, but also when he's playing aggressive, he's first to the ball. He's really good at nicking headers away. He is a really good player. And I think Mick kind of underlined there as well that he had a sticky start, but for a long, long time, the undefeated record these two have, domestic games, is incredible. Starfelt just a standout again, and I think it's part of Celtic's recruitment has been quite incredible. Maybe the ability to find players in Japan and now with South Korea we owe as well. But these players in that first batch, Juranovic, Jota, Carlos Starfelt, just clever signings, mainstays in the team. And I think it's a different... I think because in the build-up as well, pundits, they still like to have a couple of ex-Rangers players flagged up Starfelt as a player that Rangers can attack. And I think that's just quite a simplistic argument for the player that you see week in, week out. He'll never be silky smooth with the ball at his feet, but everything else that he brings to Celtic's just invaluable, and once again, he was one of the key men in a massive day of the season.
I think if you watch him, I think the reason why people may say that is because the style of his play is a wee bit like, remember Eric Svechenko at Celtic a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the tallest, maybe not. I mean, Svechenko was slightly more physical, but Starfelt was not the most physical. So what he tends to do is he tries to win the ball, tries to get there first. So a lot of centre halves will stand off for a man, let them take it to feet, try and hold the ground, maybe out muscle him a wee bit. Not let them turn. Whereas Starfelt tries to get there first, whether it's in the air or on the ground, he'll try and nick in there first to win the ball in front of the striker. And his timing's really good. I mean, to be honest with you, he does it most times. You mentioned that the second goal was a bit of that. He's trying to get there in front of the man at that point again. And he's good at doing that. The problem is that if you're playing against a right top drawer centre forward, they make you a bit wise to that, maybe like spin a wee bit easy. That's the only reason I think people maybe say that. But his timing is so good and he's so quick. and gets away with that way of playing. That's why he's so effective, because he gets in the strikers rather than waiting to wrestle with them. Mm-hmm. And also he can pass it off. He can let Carter Vickers, because he'll wrestle with him all day. You know what I mean? So it's a good partnership. It works really well. He's been a good signing for Celtic.
One aspect of the game on Sunday, probably the only aspect, I'd imagine, Graham, that Ange Postecoglou probably wouldn't be that happy with, was the three glaring chances in the last minute. I mean, Celtic fans would have been pulling their hair out, looking for the game to be sealed up. Haksabanovic and O'Reilly in particular, pretty bad misses.
I think the way the game was stretched, but I think Ange still, when he was talking about having his scotch, I think he'd be more thinking about the Kyogo double than the opportunities. But you're right. I actually think I'm going to turn it slightly, Dan, and look at the positives. I thought the burst of pace Haksabanovic showed, he got past goals, was pretty impressive. And mm-hmm. I think O'Reilly was pretty important when he came on as well. That's the thing. That's what's made, if you're talking about this and you're comparing, and I'm sure it's a great pub debate, Rodgers' team and Neil's team, right? And obviously, you get guys in the Neil team straight away, Larson and Sutton. But the strength of this Celtic team / squad is, I don't ever remember a Celtic squad having 16, 17 guys who are interchangeable, in the sense that it's horses for courses in certain circumstances. You can understand Moyes, since he's come up to fitness, but O'Reilly's a great player. Turnbull still got a great role to play. And then Haksabanovic off the bench, he had a great little run just before the World Cup. I thought he looked really, really capable, and obviously since then, injury kind of setbacks. I think those chances, that's why those opportunities arose for Celtic, and obviously Rangers are pushing for the game, but the guys involved, as you mentioned, I think Haksabanovic, but I think O'Reilly as well, I think O'Reilly tried to disguise that one in the near post and probably didn't get enough on it, and Haksabanovic as well, but I think that bodes well. I think the one thing, and this is no negative, but with Celtic only playing the kind of one game a week for the rest of the season, there's that balance for Ange. I think he touched upon it in his interview after the game. It's this never-ending, he's thinking beyond just the 11 players that's playing and things that might come up. But I think there is a balance between maybe, say, a Haksabanovic getting a start ahead of Jota. Not that Jota's done anything terribly wrong, but there's these type of players that just to keep that kind of squad intensity and balance. I think his efforts, I know he spurned that chance the last kick of the game, but I was actually quite impressed. I've quite liked the look of him as well. And again, it adds something else. Oh, as well, I think straight away, you're not going to be, I know there's high hopes for him, what he's able to do, but just his physicality, that brought something different. He's got a way to go to that kind of record Jacky Mack has had, and he's got time to settle as well, especially with the 9-point gap. There'll be opportunities to play. But I know what you're saying, but I think in this one time, with a cup in hand, a long, long week build up to a game, they felt a lot in the line. I think there was a reset in this Celtic Rangers sometimes when it's the same manager, same players playing 6-8 times in a row. I know Beale had his introduction in the Ibrox game, but this felt, with some of the comments from Lucky Ange to what Fashion Sakala said, it felt significant. It felt a kind of moment in time where Celtic will reaffirm their credentials as a top team, or maybe Michael Beale and Rangers would be able to show that they're able to kind of bridge the gap. But I think that's what made the result such a big moment for Celtic on Sunday. So I think, in hindsight, any near misses for the likes of Haksabanovic, I know they've the day off on Monday, so they'll be straight back to training, maybe a starting place for the weekend after.
Mac almost thought it was, you could sense it was really, really kind of, it hurt Rangers that to see the strength and depth Celtic had bringing on in the second half. I mean, as Graham says, it was pretty stark, the contrast.
Right, well, you look at that final kind of 10 minutes, I think at that point, I mean, Joe Hart still hadn't a save to make by that point. I already hit a post at 1-0, but he hadn't really the save to make by that stage. And they looked like a kind of beaten team. And I think at that point, you get Haksabanovic causing major problems. Abada causing problems, O'Reilly. I think Graham was right. I think O was really interesting. He came on like a man possessed, didn't he? And he came on like a man who just came from the kind of Glasgow Saturday Morning League. Now, in career, it was physical, bashing defenders, roughing them up. It was like it was the most Scottish Korean performance I've ever seen in my life. It was really, really physical. And so that's just one because I don't think Rangers particularly enjoyed playing against Jacky Marcus because of that physical element. And they might have been a bit more relieved that he's gone. But then you've got O coming in looking every bit as physical, if not even more so. And that's something I think they actually really struggled with him, because he was really annoying for them, really. A lot of it was rough and ready, some of the stuff. He was holding the ball in, he's bumping off against people. And I think it was really effective. It really spun the game back in that last kind of 10 minutes. And it's not until you see it again. It's like we're pretty comfortable in that kind of phase. And like I said, could add the lead. I don't think, I mean, we're not picking hairs over the chances missed. There were good chances they created, in fairness. I think Haksabanić, again, was a great run. A couple of inches either way, and that would have been an absolute stunner. But no, it's sometimes you get these wins that feel a bit like statement wins, don't they? I mean, there's a lot of talk, it's happened before through the years. I can remember a lot of talk, I think it was back in the day when it was Graeme Murtagh and Charles Rangers and all that stuff, and they got to an old fun game, and Celtic won with 10 men at Ibrox, and that felt like a bit of a statement. There was a couple of years again, it was like tears in the dressing room about drawing the cup. A few weeks later, it was a heavy win for Celtic. I just sometimes think these are kind of statement wins that propel Celtic in terms of forcing home their dominance, but also kind of sets back their rivals as well, because it means they need to reassess where they are and where they need to be to try and kind of keep narrow the gap. Because at the moment, there's a gap.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that Ange likes to, you know, have two strikers that are almost polar opposites, Graham. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but as Mick says, he come on, you know, ready for a fight at the weekend. And whereas Kyogo, you know, doesn't like all that, he ghosts in and it's almost like you forget about him and then he scores a hat-trick. I love the contrast between the two.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, especially with Ola, I've been really impressed, I've got to be honest. Like, you'd be hard-pushed to make a kind of stunning highlight deal of what he's been able to do with Mick. And alluded to it there as well. There's just something, he's got a real spikiness to him and the way he gets in and about, and I know Giacomakis brought that as well. It's a great point. Giacomakis, this one of the kind of great Twitter myths was Kyogo's goal record against Rangers. If you actually go through, he hardly played the way it worked out and missed a couple of games with injuries. He's barely fit for the semi-final. But Giacomakis did bring a presence, a different element to games against playing against Rangers. I think he'll bring that as well. And you've touched on it here as well. That's perfect. That they're different type of strikers. I think that's what makes Celtic unpredictable. Now, we know Kyogo, these timing of these runs, players, and it's quite a simplistic way as well. Like, as much as I'm sure the instructions are very complex at training, but a lot of Celtic's best goals, they're almost, it's low crosses into the box, high percentage, four or five guys within the place that'll score. Sometimes just Kyogo, but you know those goals over the time, guys, back the winger on the back post, getting in ahead, it's happened to Barisic a couple of times as well. So as much as I'm sure it's a complex methods to learn what Ange wants his strikers and attacking players, the end results can often look very simple because they're just the best technicals. It's not overcomplicated. It's not pot shots to the edge of the box. And then I think just to go back to something Mick said earlier on that was really interesting was the fact that as much as the first 20 minutes didn't look like much, it was maybe a case of smoke mirrors where Celtic, this constant passing, pushing people out of positions, eventually players get bored with the tracking back, and that's often when Celtic end up players in overlap positions are great at that, where they get three or four players on the one side of the pitch quickly. And I think O is going to be the type of guy, there's going to be a game, you can see it already, just with his runs and ability, there's going to be a game very soon that he ends up with 2-3 as well, and that very quickly, he already, I think, is winning fans over. But there's no reason why, for what he's displayed so far, I don't see any reason why he won't be able to fill that kind of Giacomakis man. And the one thing I would say as well is, Celtic, the profile of players, the recruitment's been excellent, but I think Hatate, again, Mick beat me to it earlier, the way he finds a pass on the reverse, that's like the kind of players that I think Celtic fans have said before this, when you used to see a Leipzig or a Salzburg, you know how the really top-level recruitment, that Hatate falls into that category. He's a level above some of the... He's like... Teams across Europe going, well, why weren't we able to sign him? He's a really quality player. And I think I know he's still got a long way to go to prove. I think his size and speed for this type of striker that he is, I think if he continues development, finds a net, I think he could maybe fit that criteria as well. And that's what's made... There's many factors that go into Celtic's latest big win on Sunday, but I think recruitment's just so vital. And the way they find these players that suit what they're looking to do, I think it bodes extremely well for the rest of the season. But I think as much as he's shown that Kyogo's going to takes some shifting because he just continues to do it in the biggest moments. So, but plenty to be excited about for Celtic fans.
Just on Hitati there, I was at the Real Madrid game earlier this season. I was talking to fans after the game, and three different Real Madrid fans all singled them out. They were all like, "Who's the Japanese boy in midfield? He was brilliant." So I definitely think there'll be a lot of attention on him come the summer. But I suppose that's a good thing.
One thing as well that Ange, I know he said, Juranovic, the idea that about he likes players to be ambitious, and that's why they're here, and say that's how it works, and he knows how that. And he touched on that at the AGM as well, that Celtic need to be an active club, and some you might see some of your favourite players go. And one thing he said we had that a couple of times is kind of noted his ambition, and I don't think that's a negative in the slightest. That guy who was playing university football basically 3 years ago is now, he's been to me the best player in Scotland this year. There's been a lot of contenders for Celtic for that, but like Hitati's been excellent. So that kind of ambition's a positive, it's not a negative, and you can see the way he plays, he's getting better and better. I know he'd the end of last season, he tired. It's so obvious he's tired, and the way he's been able to come back this season, and it's just he makes passes that other players can't. Just little 2 yard slide drill passes, touches, nutmegs, finding space. He's strong, like he really is. You thought it's very quick to crown players if they've a good game, but the amount of times this season he's been able to affect games, assist goals, it's been a remarkable season for him.
Mick, on Monday, I think it was Monday's Record Sport, you wrote a really good piece on Callum McGregor that I thought I should bring up because the stat mentioned in it.
I had to happen at some point writing a good piece.
the stat in it was almost unbelievable. And so Callum McGregor on Sunday, I think that was his 15th final at Hampden, and he's won them all.
Yep, I think one of them didn't go off the bench. One of them got a medal for it, so he was there. So we could say 14 finals involved as a youth player and a senior player, and won the lot, never lost.
That's insane.
Extraordinary, isn't it? And by the way, he was the best player on the pitch on Sunday by a country mile. By the way, he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. In fact, we did a wee video before the game. I think not wanting to say I told you so, but I said the key to rate for Rangers was stopping Callum McGregor. Right. And it didn't. I think it was Tillman's job to kind of push up onto him, and he didn't look the fittest, to be honest with you, on the day. And McGregor had far too much space, and he had an absolute field day. He was the one in that opening 20 minutes picking and prodding and passing and finding the spaces, and he ran the show for the whole game. I mean, I think Hitati, we touched on, was outstanding as well. And I thought Moy heavily involved in both goals, had a really good game. But McGregor was just a different level, I think. I mean, he was outstanding, led by example, dictated the flow of the game. He dug in when he had to dig in, ran the show when he had to. I thought it was just a kind of all-round performance, was just off the chart. I think Celtic have won a watch from McGregor, really. We always knew he was a good player and a good teammate. Getting the captaincy, he's very different to Scott Brown. So it was interesting to see what he'd be like as a captain. Mm-hmm. And I think he's evolved into a really, really impressive Celtic captain. I think he sets the tone in training. He, by all accounts, with the squad, he's loved by the squad in terms of how he's helped this new look group integrate. He's an ambassador for the club as well. He never puts a foot wrong in terms of what he says in public or what he does. I think he's just evolved into a real top Celtic captain. I think history will view him very, very well. I mean, look at his record now. He's up there with the most decorated players in history already. Mm-hmm. I think he will go down as one of the all time best, I think, as well.
Right. And that record itself, that's got to be something he has. You know, it has to be a record. I can't think of any other Celtic player to even go close to 15 finals and winning them all.
It's like the Undertaker at WrestleMania. It's like somebody will leave.
Come on, yeah.
He's got to go. But it's unbelievable. Again, I think Matt is well saying there the fact that you almost go underrated. It's Hitati and it's oohs and ahs, and rightfully so. But McGregor was brilliant. That's the thing. It's just and he is a different type of captain to Scott Brown. But what a captain he is! It's a different style. But you can tell that the way Postecoglou is great at praising, but not going over. I think he struggles to keep it in with McGregor. Just how much he appreciates him, how much he respects him. It's so obvious that. The whole team revolves around a player who's just gets better and better every year he plays. It's just it's just a fantastic, fantastic talent. And I'm sure they might be back Scottish Cup again as the next challenger for his record, because it's remarkable not to lose a final in that circumstance. Just anything can happen. So, no, that's what makes the quadruple treble, a double last season, trying to go for a treble this year. Like anything Scottish football, everything we know about Scottish football up until the last few years under Celtic, teams always lost cup games. There was always shocks. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. And I don't think this period, the Celtic dominance will be, it's not going to be a regular thing. It's that amount of trophies in such a small period of time. It's just throughout the history books, it's abnormal. It's not the way it's been done. And I think that's why it's been so celebrated under different managers, but the end result normally remains the same. I think with the Postecoglou element, I know where Neil, I think Celtic fans adored Neil Rodgers before he left, but there's just something about this kind of relation without getting to the heartstrings. But there's I think they can really appreciate it after straight off the back of COVID, no fans in the stadium, a guy who at the time many were, of course, were unsure because they didn't have the knowledge of him, and very quickly won them over. I think that's what makes these moments so special, because during Neil Lennon's last season, John Kennedy took over the interim in empty stadiums. Felt Celtic were a million miles away from these kind of days. I know it was very short-lived, a short period, but just to have them back so quickly for fans, I think that's what makes it such a special time.
And the big games keep coming for Celtic. St Mirren away is up next this weekend, Mick, and it's not one that Celtic can take lightly. Obviously, they lost there earlier this season. And then the doubleheader against Hearts, one of which is at Tynecastle in the Scottish Cup, and that already to me feels like another really big game for Celtic.
Well, totally. We're now getting to the kind of business end, aren't we? Listen, St Mirren at the weekend, St Mirren obviously said they lost there early in the season, and St Mirren done a job on them. The only team really this season to do a job on Celtic. But that day it was a much changed lineup. Pretty much an off day as well. But St Mirren were great that day. I mean, we saw St Mirren at a game at Stirling Park recently getting beaten quite heavily. But it will be a tougher game over there, so they can't really afford to be kind of freewheeling. And then you get the Hearts double header, Tynecastle. I think apart from maybe drawing Rangers, that's the hardest tie they could get out of the Heart, really, Tynecastle. And you think that is a big hurdle to get over if they are going to go. I think the lead in the lead is unassailable at this point in time. But I think that if they're going to go and win the cup as well, this is a huge hurdle, but it's tough as it gets. I was at Hearts the last game at Motherwell, and they were absolutely dreadful. But they haven't been this season. They've been good for a long, long time. That was a rare off day. So I expect them to kind of pick up with the left up before that game. So yeah, it's a tough one, but this is why Celtic are in form. They're full of confidence. You wouldn't bet against them, that's for sure at the moment. But just if they play to the way they can play, No one's going to cope with them. So it's simple as that for Celtic right now. If they turn up and play at their levels, they'll win the games.
Right, and you saw Ange so often so stoic, Graham, and kind of straight faced on the touchline at the weekend. See, when he got his hand in that cup, he was over the moon. He's so happy, and he'll be desperate to win that treble.
100%. That's fair. And I think it was last year as well at the previous League Cup final. I think the first time you've seen the real outpouring emotion was Kyogo at full time. Just a different side to him, like that instant success of a cup win. Because obviously Kyogo scored those two goals against Hibs playing with basically one hamstring, wasn't it? Like, he was really struggling to get fit, and that was the same again on Sunday. You just notice this. He said as well after the game, it's relief, isn't it? And it's tangible. It's the build up so long. And another thing he said I think is quite important is that you can't hammer into the players straight away about St Mirren. You need to enjoy the moment. And I think he was very much in the moment on Sunday as well. I think he could feel the success, but very quickly, straight back. St Mirren, Mick pointed out, was a convincing win in the Scottish Cup. But as you know, St Mirren were pretty competitive that game for a long time. And then it's like a double-header against Hearts. That adds a wee extra level intrigue. They've obviously, Hearts got Celtic Park on the Wednesday night in the league, a week on Wednesday. And then the cup games on Saturday morning, it's quite a quick turnaround. So I think for Celtic, the squad, it's pretty manageable. But for Hearts, it's an interesting one to balance. So there's a few teams breathing down their neck in the race for third. And you've also got the push of trying to win the Scottish Cup, a home game against Celtic. So it's a lot of decisions there. The next kind of week, I know it's been a week off after the final, a few days to rest, but very quickly again, a three game week, it changes the narrative. So, but Celtic, as Mick said, they are in that kind of all conquering swagger style now, where they know they're the best team, and if the application's right, which it almost always is, then the commitment's always spot on, that they will win the games. But there's still big challenges ahead. There's certain targets to hit as well. Like, they were already looking at the league record as well, that the amount of wins and games, like, it's incredible. And I think the fact it's not an invincible season is actually quite a good thing, because that takes that, the one that obviously they would love to finish unbeaten, I don't mean that, but you know how when a team's not lost a league game, it's this pressure to try and it maybe takes away the flair of the football, but they can have a go at the points total as well. That's the thing. I think that was one of the Martin O'Neill seasons, set the record point. Rogers ended up doing it in the invincible treble. But there's obviously that's still within, but that would take a big effort to do that. But that's the type of things that will motivate a team like Celtic to, you know, go one better again. So there's still loads to play for, and obviously Scottish Cup game's massive, but all starts Paisley this week. I think it'll be a challenging game. It'll be another good one, but I've got to fancy Celtic to do the job.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the perfect way to bring the end to this week's Record Celtic podcast. As ever, you can follow all the conversation, all the best Celtic stories at record_sport on Twitter and at dailyrecord_sport on Instagram as well. Graham, Mick, it's always a pleasure.
As always.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.